And you know the movie The Exorcist, right? You remember that? Head spinning around, vomit coming out of the mouth. But you probably didn't know that it was based on a true story, and there's a documentary out about that true story right now called Shock Docs, The Exorcism of Roland Doe. It's on Discovery Plus. And on the show right now, we have the author of several books on the topic and a main contributor for the documentary, Troy Taylor. What's up, Troy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good. It's cool to have you on the show, man. I love when I get interviews about this, and this is going to be one of those interviews that I wish I had a podcast, because I would love to talk to you for hours about this.
Right.
Unfortunately,
yeah, it's hard. One of those things is hard to fit into 5 minutes. Yeah.
Right. Exactly. And you know what? A lot of people don't know that The Exorcist was inspired by true events. So what is the real story? Who is Roland Doe?
Yeah. Well, you know, this was a young kid who was 13 years old in 1949 and grew up in Cottage City, Maryland, right outside of D.C. At first, his parents thought the house was haunted because we're hearing all kinds of weird noises, footsteps, creaking sounds, you know, scratching sounds inside the walls, called an exterminator. They didn't have any problems. They couldn't figure out what was going on. But then things kept getting worse. He started to be I'd call it attacked, you know, scratched up, banged up, being pinned on the bed. Then he started going into seizures and convulsions and howling and barking and using strange voices and things. And his parents freaked out, called the Lutheran minister. He thought maybe it was a ghost, or thought maybe Roland was psychic or something. And then all of these strange marks started showing up on his body and stuff. And eventually the family just was so terrified, they ended up going to St. Louis, where they were originally from and where they had family, thinking, you know, maybe, you know, we could go somewhere else and this stuff will stop. We can get away from it. But it got worse in St. Louis, and the family were Catholics, the family in St. Louis were, and they contacted the church, and some priests came out to pray and things, and discovered that, you know, objects flying around the room and all kinds of stuff. And they decided that they would ask for permission to do an exorcism. And 6 weeks later, it ended. But that's how long it took.
6 weeks. That's intense.
Weeks, yeah. Every single night, man, for 6 weeks. And when it was over, the church wanted to keep it quiet. It really probably never would have leaked out at all. But over time, you know, how things happen.
So how does it go from that story into being the movie that we know now?
William Peter Blatty, who's the author of The Exorcist, was attending seminary in Georgetown, in outside Washington, D.C. at the time. And he'd heard the story, just got interested in it. He heard just a little bit of it. He managed to get his hands on what was called the priest's diary, which was kept by one of the priests involved in the exorcism, Father Bishop, as sort of a how-to guide for people who, you know, priests who might be doing an exorcism, because he couldn't find much help when he had to do one, so we thought maybe this would help other priests later. Blatty also talked to Father Bowdern, who was the lead exorcist, and went on to base his character of Father Marin on Father Bowdern. But anyway, so he found these things out, kind of put them together, eventually wrote the book, and then, of course, the movie, and used a lot of the things that actually happened in the real story in the movie.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no head spinning around or anything in real life, but,
yeah,
you know,
like,
nobody's being thrown out the window or anything like that.
Sure, yeah. You have to make a story for, you know, a compelling story. But, yeah, I mean, like, what you described to me sounded a lot like the movie. They exhausted all the, what do they call them, semantic possibilities before saying, I think we need to bring in a priest.
Yeah, I mean they sent the boy to Georgetown University Hospital and gave him a full battery of tests. They couldn't find anything wrong with him. And mentally, nothing wrong with him there either. I mean, he'd always been a little hyper and a little high-strung, but that was it. But again, he's this 13-year-old kid. He weighs like maybe 105 pounds. And then suddenly they're doing these exorcisms, and it's, you know, six guys can't hold him down on the bed. You know, things are flying around the room. He's throwing up. He's vomiting. He's spitting these, you know, stuff like 10, 12 feet across the room with his eyes closed. I mean, the smells, the horrific sounds, the voices, this, I mean, just crazy stuff. And then the one thing, I'll ask you this question before you ask me.
Sure.
Yes, he really levitated.
I mean, it's see in the movie, the priests are throwing holy water on this poor little girl as she's floating in the air and making horrific noises. It's hard to imagine something like that happening in real life.
Well, it's the perfect example of how, you know, when it goes to Hollywood, things get exaggerated. But I interview in the documentary, I interviewed an Alexian monk. He's telling me his story, and he says to me, I was there, you know, I was in the room. My job was to help hold him down onto the bed. And this boy levitated above the mattress 12 inches.
Now, 12 inches in the movie, it's like 4 or 5 feet.
I know, like 5 feet, right?
Yeah.
But even so, 12 inches is still 12 inches. And it wasn't like he said, you know, boy, it looked like it or it seemed like it. He's just said flat out, matter of fact, looked me in the eye and said he levitated off the bed 12 inches. And he said, you know, you'd have to be crazy to walk into that room and not realize that the devil was in that room.
We're on with Troy Taylor, author and contributor for the documentary Shock Docs, The Exorcism of Roland Doe on Discovery Plus. Do you believe that The Exorcist is the scariest movie ever made?
I do think it's always in my top 10. I think it's a great movie. I had a perfect discussion with somebody who told me that they had gone to see it at the theater when it came out, and they were Catholic, and they went to see this movie and were absolutely terrified and ready to run out of the theater. And he'd gone there with a friend of his who was a Lutheran who went, yeah, it was okay, whatever. You know, so I think that there may be, that may be the separation. I think that that movie probably put more Catholics back in pews than, you know, any other movie that's ever come out.
I can tell you what makes it so horrifying to me, this story and the real story that it's based on, is the age of the subject. A child going through all this stuff, whether or not he's actually possessed or having mental health issues, it's terrifying.
It is. It is. And you know, I've been asked why, you know, why did he change it from a boy to a girl or from a boy?
Right.
And when Blatty had spoken with Father Bowder, and Father Bowder had, you know, no one ever foresaw that anyone would ever be talking about this story. He just said, listen, we want to protect this boy's identity, so why don't you just do whatever you can to hide that? And Blatty took it an extra step and turned the lead into a girl. But I think that's really even more effective in the movie because you can really feel, you see a little girl doing these things, you know, rather than a boy and all the things that are happening and stuff. And you have a lot more sympathy for a little girl because, I mean, we've either known 13-year-old boys or have been one. And we know that we would deserve anything that would have happened to us. We were so obnoxious when we were 13. So by changing it into a girl, you know. But what was really great about that is a few years ago, I did a Comic-Con panel about this story. And when it was announced we were going to do it, Linda Blair asked if she could be on the panel with us, which was pretty cool. You know, when you think of her doing all these horrific things in this movie, and then you meet her and sit down with her, and she's like this tiny little person, and she's so sweet and like the nicest person you've ever met in your life. And you're thinking, oh, my God.
Yeah, she was, 12 years old when that movie was made. Can you imagine the maturity level you have to be at to be able to handle a role like that?
Absolutely. Absolutely. The things she had to do. And I know that I'd read some things that they tried to shield her from some of it. But, I mean, I think we both know, even though that's not her voice a lot of times in the movie, still, that she still had to say those things.
Yeah.
You know, and it's pretty brutal, man. I mean, not now we can probably find a 12-year-old girl on the street who would say all of those things on a regular basis, but not, you know.
I don't know about that, Troy.
Well, probably not. Not all of them.
Dude, like I said, I would love to talk to you for hours and hours about this. This makes me wish I had my own podcast. But in the meantime, DiscoveryPlus.com. This is where you can see this documentary. It's called Shock Docs, The Exorcism of Roland Doe. Troy Taylor, thanks so much for joining us today. Where can we send people to find out more about you?
Absolutely. You can go to my website. It's AmericanHauntings.net. And the Devil Came to St. Louis book and all kinds of other stuff is there. So, yeah, we'll be happy to hear from people who have enjoyed the documentary. So
excellent, man. Well, it was cool to have a Midwest dude on.
Yeah, thanks, man.